In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The readings we have today seem to have common themes in them. We heard about family, husband and wife, children, the creation of man and woman and God putting them together. And if you look at the gospel reading from Mark chapter 10, Jesus addresses a question about family, about marriage and divorce. Reflecting God's original creation of marriage, our Lord speaks of the mystery that the two become one flesh. Divorce then not only damages and separates what God has joined together, but has its immediate and directly sad effect, especially on the children in the family. St. Paul similarly wrote about husbands and wives in the letter to the Ephesians, but when he quotes Genesis 2:24 from today's Old Testament reading about a man and a wife becoming one flesh, suddenly he surprises us and says this: "This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." Our epistle reading from the letter to the Hebrews has this mystery in mind. The salvation of all men came about only as God joined himself together with our human blood and flesh in the incarnation of his Son Jesus. In Jesus, God has become one flesh with us. By baptism into Christ, we are all born anew as children of God. We are the children. Our reading from Hebrews begins by warning against spiritual divorce or falling away from the family of God out of neglect of His word and worship. Then our attention is fixed on the God-man Jesus. Our reading shows us that Jesus identified himself so intimately with us as to share our human nature that we might share his sinless eternal life. Jesus identified himself so intimately with us as to share our human nature that we might share his sinless eternal life. Wedding services are always filled with beauty, joy, and good wishes. After the vows of faithfulness are joyfully and sometimes tearfully exchanged, the couple is recognized and announced as husband and wife. But just then, right in the midst of all that joy and beauty, these words of Jesus appear as a solemn warning. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. The same kind of beauty and reverence that characterizes a wedding, we sense in the marvelous and majestic New Testament letter to the Hebrews. It begins with a beautiful description of the supremacy of God's Son, but then, in chapter 2, it shifts to a warning. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. This warning is not talking merely about your mind wandering while you hear the sermon. Some have felt guilty about that. But that's the way sermons are supposed to work. Yes. The Holy Spirit is intimately involved in taking the word heard and connecting it to the very real and personal details of your life and experience. So, in this sense, we can say that there are as many sermons being preached as there are listeners here in this sanctuary or even online. However, the warning of our reading is against drifting away, separating yourself from hearing God's word. In marriage, separation is divorce. Spiritually, even simple neglect of God's word is to be cut off from God. Through the word and the sacraments, the Holy Spirit is given. He works faith in those who hear the good news that God justifies those who believe that they are received into grace for Christ's sake. As the body needs physical nourishment and food to remain healthy, alive, to grow, to be restored, so the heart redeemed by faith needs to hear the gospel to keep faith alive and strong. The word of God is powerful to save and to encourage bold faith even in the face of troubles. But simple neglect of hearing God's word can result in falling away from faith. Hebrews chapter 2 uses a word that describes a boat that becomes untied from the dock and because of contrary winds, simply drifts away. Spiritually, the contrary winds are false doctrines or teachings that contradict the pure gospel. The Apostle Paul even uses boating language in Ephesians chapter 4 when he warns against being tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine. So again, our reading warns. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And he continues, for since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? If you were to buy a new house at age 30 and never clean, paint, repair, or otherwise tend to it, it would prove useless for shelter far before you might reach age 80 or even 60. And what about your car? How long might you neglect your ride before the engine stops and the tires go all flat? Or how long do you suppose your body would serve you if you were to neglect exercise, nutrition, eyesight, infections, or injuries? How long would your relationships last if you were to neglect birthdays, time together, recreation and play, unselfish acts, showing sacrificial love, or enjoying fellowship in the Lord and His Word? Neglect has the power to strand cars and bring down houses, homes, and health. According to the words of Hebrews, salvation neglected leads to facing judgment as one who has not been purified, and therefore will receive a just retribution. The warning demands nothing more of us than that we remain connected in the hearing of God's word. Then, by that word, God does the connecting and the saving. And here's where our gospel reading becomes also part of this warning. When the parents were trying to bring the children to Jesus and the disciples were telling them not to, the disciples were neglecting those kids what they needed. And it's the same thing for all of us who have someone under our responsibility to take care and to make sure they are not neglected, especially neglected about God's salvation. Because someone, especially a little one, can be neglected so much that they may drift away and they may receive the just retribution. And we, as people responsible for them, don't want that. We want them and everyone being touched by the word of God. And when they are touched by the word of God, God does the connecting and the saving. And Jesus Christ is the word of God. Jesus Christ is the one who told, "Let them come to me." As St. John says in the beginning of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. This Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This is the amazing miracle that is also the point of our reading in Hebrews, that God the Creator should take on our human nature and be at one with his creation in this way. Our reading quotes the beautiful words of Psalm chapter 8. It says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." Contemplate that. The majesty and glory of God in his creation of man as a little lower than the heavenly beings. Lower in the sense that human beings are higher than the animals, but we're created, as were the angels, to be in a relationship with God, to be one with God. But there is more. These words are not just about our creation. Verses 8 and 9 continue. "At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him for a little while as made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor." The church here picks up on these words applying to Jesus when we pray Psalm 8 during the Christmas season, commemorating the given to the Son of Mary his human name, Jesus. At Christmas, we can see the incarnation of the Word not only as part of his humiliation, but as an exaltation of our human nature. The bottom line of salvation is that in the resurrection on the last day, we will not only be restored to the status of Adam and Eve before the fall, like we saw today in the Old Testament reading. No, we'll be restored to a status even greater, the status of our brother Jesus as fellow heirs of the kingdom. However, this all came about in the ultimate purpose of his taking our flesh. How and for what ultimate purpose was Jesus made for a little while lower than the angels? Verse 9 continues saying that Jesus was crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Jesus lowered himself so that he could fulfill God's law for us and become the one perfect sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. Now, because of Jesus' suffering and death on that bloody cross, our salvation is made complete. When in verse 10, our reading says that the founder of our salvation was made perfect through suffering, perfect through suffering, he uses the same word as our Lord spoke from the cross when he said on Good Friday, "Tetelestai." Tetelestai. It is finished. It is perfect. It is completed. The work of saving is finished. Complete. Yes, the result of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection is that our salvation is made complete. And that salvation is even better than we ever hope, because in Christ we are called his brothers and made fellow inheritors of heaven. Verse 11, "For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That's why he's not ashamed to call them brothers." St. Paul wrote to Pastor Timothy this: "If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him." So sure and complete is our salvation that we have his promise that Christ will never drift away from us. And St. Paul confirms this in the powerful 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans. And I would like to ask you to please read these concluding words with me. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I think the last thing that I have to say is amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.